This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, time for us to check in on some news. Here's my Bally Malloy.
Oh, okay.
What, you were caught unprepared?
I was caught unprepared. All right, let's begin with the ANC who are seemingly trying to clean up house.
Talk about people who are unprepared.
Because you know how they successfully got rid of Makosi Khoza last week when they fired her from her position as chairperson of some other thing that she chairs. And now they're going after...
They keep Jacob Zuma, they keep women beaters, you know. Women beaters have to resign.
Yes.
But they go after Makosi Khoza.
Right. Well, the next person on their targeted list is Derek Hanekom, who has been given 10 days to explain why he should be, or why rather he shouldn't be removed as chairperson of the party's disciplinary committee.
Sorry, I just think that the ANC having a disciplinary committee is ridiculous.
Yes. So the ANC Treasurer General Zweli Mkhize said that the party Secretary General Gwede Mantashe is empowered to initiate processes to have Derek Hanekom replaced.
Shame.
A decision will be taken on the matter at the NEC, with Shame. Mkhize saying that the party needs to act quickly against Shame. Members who bring the organization Shame. Into disrepute. A lot of people are also saying that a cabinet Shame. Reshuffle might well be Shame. On the way.
Oh.
With political commentators and analysts saying, well, this is just another way that the president is trying to reestablish his power
yeah.
for all those naughty MPs who voted against him in the motion of no confidence. Well, they're about to find out who's really in charge.
Right.
So Makosi Khoza out. Derek Hanekom now having to justify why he should retain his position.
You dumb bitch.
And then a possible cabinet reshuffle on the way. This is what happens when you go against the president, people, is you will be dealt with. That's
right.
Just the way the rules work. Okay?
Yeah, forget about it. You don't have any room to argue with this dude. He's going to try and make your life hell now.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, you voted against me. We'll see who
I'll show you month. Who's in charge.
Yeah. You really have to just toe the line. The ANC is not a place for thought anymore or for opposition or for different ideas. It's the president's way or the highway.
Which is why we really shouldn't be surprised when these votes of no confidence go the way that they do. It's because people understand that, well, I have to toe the line. Otherwise, I'm out.
Yeah,
either you're in or you're out.
Right. And this president, he's going to do whatever it takes to stay in. Until December, and to keep his wife as the prime, what would you call it, successor.
Mm. Even just still being in a room with people who he knows for certain now, looking at the results, some don't like him. You know, how do you stay in a comfortable, how is that comfortable for you? Where you go, there well, are one.
And as his poison leaches no. into the system more and more, there are going to be more and more people who turn against him. So he's fighting a losing battle.
That doesn't move him, though.
No, he's got it. He's going to claw his way back in, and he's going to do whatever it takes. This guy is like a wild animal trapped in the corner. You better believe he's going to fight. So I don't think he's just going to go. You know what it's like. You catch a tiger and you back it into a corner. It's going to attack.
Mm.
That's what's coming. So don't expect this guy to take it lying down. Poor old Makosi Khoza, her conscience, blah, blah, blah. Well, out of there. Boom. Finished. Derek Hanekom votes with his conscience. Boom. Out of there. Finished. Who is the other one?
Oh, I can't remember.
Bongeni Mulaudzi or something like that. He's also out.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's all just, these guys are, this is why everybody with that vote of no confidence, are like, oh no, they're going to be enough ANC people of conscience. These guys need to hold on to their jobs. They're not going to get work in the private sector. Who would hire someone like Faith Mutambi? She's got to do whatever it takes to hold on. And by holding on, she has to hold on to the coattails of Jacob Zuma.
Speaking of Minister Faith Mutambi, yesterday Parliament's Communication Portfolio Committee Chairman Humphrey Maklegwana released a statement where a report outlines how Mutambi may have misled the committee when she denied putting pressure on then board members at the SABC to appoint her good friend Claudie Motsoeneng as SABC Chief Operating Officer.
I'm not saying he's...
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, if found to be true, it would be a breach of the Powers and Privileges Act.
Oh.
Yes. The former board chairman, Mbulayeni Maguve, also was also found to have possibly lied when he told the inquiry in December last year that he had no knowledge of the firing of the SABC 8. You remember there the group of journalists who were fired and then rehired after objecting to changing editorial policies at the broadcaster?
Yeah, we had some of them in here, and they've been through hell and back.
Yes, they have. Now, Ms. Mutambi, however, indicated that Professor Maguve himself had led a October 5th, 2016 presentation to the Portfolio Committee, which included feedback with regard to the labor dispute, and this could be indicative of Professor Maguve misleading the inquiry. So it would seem that Faith Mutambi and a couple of other people who were in leadership positions at the SABC at the time, you know, if found to have been lying, they will have to account to these lies.
The devil is a motherfucking liar. So you know I ain't worried. Bitch. Stupid bitch.
That is it.
All right. this is what we've got. These are the best people to run the place. Oh, I am so glad I don't work at the SABC.
Mm.
Got out by a ball hair. Really?
Just the tiniest, shortest little one.
All of this craziness started just after we left. I mean, you had an interaction with Claudie Motsoeneng.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he said to you, you must choose. Either you do work, you were working at ENCA at the time, either you work for them or you work for us.
Yep.
Kind of
did
both.
He call you right into his office?
I called Gil.
Made her stand on his thick pile carpet and berated her.
Oh my God,
and she stood her ground. Good for my belly.
Yeah, well, he summoned a whole bunch of people into his office to say that, you know, you must make a choice. You can't be seen to be working for the SABC and Supersport, Robert Marawa. How dare you? You know?
You were called.
No, all of us were summoned in.
Yeah.
Shut the front door.
And we were told to make a choice.
Well, yeah, I don't know, guys. I don't know at all. So we've already touched on this, but this is giving a bit more details around this Mzwanele, let's not call him Jimmy Money, story,
well,
right?
Whatever.
Mzwanele Money says he takes offense to the notion that his purchase of ANN7 and the New Age companies is a front. So
Who cares about you taking offense?
Oh, how dare you, though? How absolutely dare you? He, alongside with Oak Bay Investments, which we know is owned by the Guptas, say that the sale is part of its commitment to preserve jobs and provide certainty to more than 7,500 employees. So look, they're actually doing good with this, aren't they?
All right. If you're the Guptas and all of your bank accounts have been closed and suspended and you can't do business in South Africa because none of the banks will work with you.
Yeah, bro.
What is the best way to get yourself back in business? Sell your company for nothing, because, I mean, there's this paper transaction, which means Jimmy effectively becomes their slave for 10 years. He's nominally put in charge of the company. He doesn't have to put in a cent by the looks of things. The Guptas fund this with our taxpayer money. And he can open up a bank account and he can carry on trading. Sounds like a good deal to me. For the Guptas, not for Jimmy. Jimmy's just a puppet.
Would this make him a patsy or a pawn?
Both.
He says, purely because I'm going into business, am I a criminal? Fronting is a crime, and it's also, here's a big word, a racist mindset. That when a black person is making it, therefore immediately what comes into mind is that they must have stolen things.
You are the worst example of black excellence.
By the way,
Jimmy, you're the worst example of black excellence that has ever cropped up. And if you are the guy who everybody in South Africa thinks is a bad businessman. That's not because everyone in South Africa is racist. It's because you're a shit.
Mm. Meanwhile, the economic freedom fighters say that they reject the sale of ANN7 and the New Age newspaper. That's saying it will continue to boycott what remains a Gupta media company. The party says that the Guptas are abusing efforts to advance transformation in the media with the pursuit of dishonest deals intended to take money from the state. So subsequently, they call on all South Africans to stop watching ANN7 or buying the New Age newspaper. Does that sort of mean that we're all part of this boycott because we don't watch ANN7?
Yeah, but you see, the problem,
we're in the front lines.
Okay, there we go. We are in the trenches. We're supporting.
No, but actually, calling for us to boycott or calling for us to not watch ANN7 is pointless because we're still paying that subscription each month, which again brings me back to this annoying thing of why aren't we allowed to just pick and choose the channels that we want to watch in this country? Well, it's fucking annoying. But you're paying the full subscription every month, so it doesn't matter if you don't watch ANN7. Your money is going there.
No one's watching it anyway, so this is all a moot point. It's not like they have an audience. They had I was in this hotel in Nelspruit on Saturday, and I was flipping through the channels, and I stopped on ANN7 because I was appalled. There was this car show that went on for like an hour and a half, hosted by, I don't know who this girl is, but she was terrible. The whole show was so amateurish. It looked like it was put together by school kids.
Well, Gareth, that sounds like a racist mindset to me.
Yeah, that's it. And that is why Mzwanele Mani his business is registered in the heart of Soweto as well. It's his childhood home, and he wants to decolonize the mindset that everything must happen in Sandton. So he is going to run ANN7 and the New Age newspaper from his childhood home in Midoland, Soweto.
Okay.
Thank you, Mzwanele Mani.
Go ahead. Knock yourself out, big guy. Such a big businessman.
You know,
you are the living example of fronting and of how BEE's dumb.
And more,
you are the worst example of someone who's self-made, who understands business. You're a patsy and a pawn, like Ben says. It's outrageous that you should even think that anyone would take you seriously. I'll guarantee you no business except government business will come to you. No one wants to deal with this crooked company, these crooked people who run it. And now the guy they've appointed who's shot his credibility months ago already. Ridiculous.
Mm.
What a joke. Anyway, all right. Good luck to you, man.
And more so, it's interesting to see who are his supporters. You know, yesterday I was scrolling through Twitter to see who's saying congratulations to him. And those
Andile,
are the people.
Andile Mtama, all the other people who've been paid by the Guptas. All the other slaves.
Done.
It's just... I use the New Age. Sometimes it gets delivered for free when I order Mr. Delivery. Have you had that happen? It comes for free. And then I use it to clean up the piss when Carl pees in my house.
Is that because you put the New Age down that he pees on it? Or
no, it's because I don't. Who buys newspapers anymore? So you have to use what's around, and the New Age gets delivered when I order Mr. Delivery, and sometimes I use it to make a fire. That's all.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's a good start.
You sometimes need that for you know. Best reason to have it. No other reason I can think of. You? Certainly not going to read it for its credible, high-quality journalism. The only two commentators and analysts they can find are Jimmy Manye and Andile Mtama. Now, if Jimmy's running, if he's managing the place, who are they going to find to take his place? Bozo the Clown?
All right, so a bunch of angry people yesterday got their way after a controversial online auction of rhino horn, which was set to open on Monday, got delayed by 2 days. And this is after a legal challenge delayed the South African permit for the sale. Outraged conservationists say the three-day auction could undermine the global ban on rhino products, and the South African authorities had moved to ban the sale. But in an 11th-hour decision on Sunday, the High Court in Pretoria ruled in favor of the auction's South African organizer, John Hume, who runs the world's biggest rhino farm. And his lawyer had argued that the seller's permit had been approved, but not issued by the authorities of South Africa, where a ban on domestic rhino horn trade was lifted 3 months ago. So the permit was handed over yesterday morning, and the homepage of the website for the sale was changed to say that bidding would only start on Wednesday.
But there's still an auction going ahead, right?
Yes, it's just gotten delayed.
So this is a way to you legalize it and you take the bottom out of the market. You create less demand by allowing the stuff to be sold, and that there are processes that you have to follow to have it sold. It can be taxed and it's run legitimately and all of that stuff. Makes sense to me.
Hume owns 1,500 rhino on his farm north of Johannesburg and has stockpiled 6 tons of rhino horn. And, he wants to place 264 horns, or about 500 kilograms, under the hammer. Ooh, so much money. Ka-ching. Rhino horns are highly prized in Asia and are estimated to fetch up to $60,000 a kilo. And he has 500 kilos. Wow.
Let's work that out. How much?
Ching-a-ling-a-ling.
$60,000.
$60,000 a kilo. And
multiplied
he...
by 500. Mm-hmm.
30 million.
Yeah.
Holy mother of God.
There you go.
What?
There you go.
For a stupid rhino horn, which is the same stuff as your fingernails.
Yep.
That's what it is. Keratin. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Dumb people who buy that.
Yeah, look, if people are going to want to pay that kind of money and you have the product, then sure. why are you going to not try and make an opportunity for yourself to make how much? 3 million?
How did he get to stockpile so much rhino horn? I mean, he farms the rhino.
He farms the rhino.
So is all of it, you know, straight off of his farm? He saws off the horns to protect them, supposedly, and now he's stockpiled all this rhino horn?
It must be.
Okay. Well, then it's his to sell. And an auction, he'll probably get more than that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But, you know, outraged conservationists got in his way.
You see, I don't understand that. What are you going to do? These horns? You want to set fire to the horns? What do these conservationists want? The horn is already off the rhino. This guy runs a farm. He probably will single-handedly stop the rhino from going extinct. Now, you have a problem with him? The problem's not with him. It's the people who buy the horn. So make them pay for the privilege.
Yeah, but people can't get their minds past certain things, though. You see rhino horn, you see an auction, you see mass outrage.
Yeah.
People aren't looking past that to see what are the different steps of creating a bit of a solution here.
Have you heard the South African version of Despacito?
Oh, no.
Despacito, I asked my pally if I could borrow his veto. I was trying to check a sticky in Belito. She was like a but she only had 3 toes. Despacito, I asked her if she smokes Doritos. She told me that she only smokes tomato fritos. She was irritating like a mosquito. Despacito, she made me nar, so I quipped her Eno. Then she chewed me, I must quip her a vino. I chewed, I don't have box like but we need Tito. Despacito.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
like it?
That's Donovan Goliath.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was Donovan Goliath. I wasn't going to say so, though.
We love it. We accept.
Wow. That's better than the original. What do you think, huh?
Yeah, that was bound to happen. That was bound to happen.
Supernova says I'm at Cape Town Airport and it has 1 gazillion New Age newspapers all over the place. SAA probably pays for every one of them. Yeah. See, it's easy if you've got your tentacles into the government that you can keep a business going. I would say any private enterprise that advertises on ANN7 or in the New Age, we should stop buying that product immediately.
Well, let's actually get one today and look who is advertising.
Right. Who knows where to find one?
Oh, goodness.
Anybody know where to find a New Age?
Surely where you would find any
apart
other
newspaper? Apart from at the bottom of a budgie cage. Anyone know where we can find one?
I will try to find one today.
Thank you, Ben.
I have to go to Randburg later. I'm sure there's one there.
La la la, guys, what is this bad rap that Randburg has?
Randburg?
This is getting very personal.
It's an integral industrial area of this country, yeah? There's nothing wrong with it.
Randburg is a very powerful and important part of our economy. It's where you get all the panel beaters and the people who know how to use a spanner and all of that stuff, but it is not a place fit for staying.
And you get tranquility sometimes, and you get greenery in certain
places.
What
part of Randburg have you been in?
Yeah.
It's just factories. You've been along Republic Road? Yes.
I spent like 4 hours there last week.
So here's a tweet that someone just sent me. I found this yesterday. CNN has 3,000 employees worldwide.
That's
according to Oak Bay, they insist the new age in ANN7 employs 7,500 people. And these jobs will now be protected by Jimmy Money.
Oh.
Well, first of all, then they absolutely can't be a profitable enterprise if they've got 7,500 and CNN has 3,000. CNN covers the world. ANN7 barely covers Limpopo.
Yeah, I would have thought CNN would have more people.
Mm. And that must include all those bots and all those fake paid Twitter people that Bell Pottinger hired as well, right? Otherwise, they'd never get to that number. What a disgraced organization. I mean, I wouldn't buy New Age for R5.50. 400 million. And we know it's a paper transaction. It's not a real one. It's insane. Someone's just messaged me from Cape Town with a picture of that storm that Mabali was talking about. There's a lot of rain in Cape Town, that cold front you were talking about. Mm. I just drove into it in Cape Town. That's from our Holy Mother Mabali, says somebody. And then someone sent me a video of this Google AI teaching itself to walk. And it's this four-legged creature that can jump on boxes. And I mean, it's terrifying. Have you seen this thing?
Mm-mm.
That thing will kill you. I'm telling you, if that's what artificial intelligence is going to bring us, we better watch out. That thing, watch out! This thing's going to kill you.
Look, I've already just accepted that we'll be part of the robot army, guys.
Part of it? They don't need us. Why would the robots want you, Sia?
Yeah, they're going to keep you as a slave.
Imagine.
It's like the Matrix. What they'll do is they'll turn you into batteries.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
Guys,
yes.
I'm too young to die.
Oh, no,
I'm
gonna
too dumb to work.
Oh, I promise you.
Just don't do anything to me, robot people.
I got a couple of interesting emails. Do you want to go to one or two of those quickly?
Okay.
All right. First of all, this is from Michelo, who is in Zambia. Hi, I'm from Lusaka, Zambia. I enjoy listening to your show. Whenever I get a chance to stream your show, I get ready for the day and also laugh intently, listen to you and the team and your take on a variety of issues. I'd like to give you a take on the mandatory... Sorry, I'd like to hear your take on the mandatory HIV/AIDS testing that our beloved President Edgar Lungu is putting in place. Anyway, this move by the President has been the talking point of the week. Others have been riled up. Others are up for it, and others, like me, just don't give a flying fig about it. However, it makes for good conversation where the health centers step up to the challenge and actually test every Zambian for HIV, or if we resort to going to witch doctors for treatment, just to avoid the mandatory test as proclaimed by His Excellency, the President of Zambia, and it deserves a mention on your show. So please have a go at it. So I looked into this, and apparently now, you don't have an option. You have to go for an HIV test in Zambia.
Okay.
I don't see how that's a bad thing.
Neither do I.
I think that's fine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly some people are very unhappy. Alert members of the public, help police apprehend a patient who fled a mandatory HIV test at a hospital in Lusaka. Actually brought the guy in and forced him to take the test. Sounds a little bit... It doesn't sound like there's a huge amount of choice in the matter. And I don't see why you should be forced to. I mean, if the country says it's a good idea to have yourself tested, you can't force people to, though.
Well, what's more important here?
Like a crowd dragging this dude back into the clinic to force him to sit down and have an HIV test. What if he just likes living in blissful ignorance?
Okay, but what's more important here? Transparency or choice?
And I think that they aren't saying that they're going to force everyone to test and they're going to reveal your status publicly. But I think given, you know, the situation in some areas...
You should force people to do it?
Look, I know it's drastic.
Right. I just don't want to live in the Republic of Sia because then I'll be forced to do things I don't want to do. Okay, they start with this. The next thing, they're going to force you to do some kind of STD test. Next thing, they're going to be saying that all the men over the age of 50 must be sterilized. The next thing, they'll be doing all kinds of operations. You know, you can't let, like, people's health has got to remain their own issue. Can't have government trying to force everybody to
but
do
the
something.
The problem is people don't let their health be their own and they go around schlooping and stooping everywhere.
You're saying that the reason...
That's the problem.
You think this... Like, let's say you don't want to have yourself tested because you might have a suspicion you have HIV.
Yeah.
And you're sleeping around. Do you think it's going to make any difference when you find out for sure you've got HIV that's going to change your behavior? It won't. Someone who's doing that because they suspect they have HIV isn't going to change their behavior once they know. And keep doing it. He doesn't care about other people.
But you can now be accountable for it.
How? No one else knows.
Well, if you know.
If you know. He's not going to change. He was a prick before. He's going to be a prick afterwards. Think about it.
Yeah, but across the board, though, people are very irresponsible when it comes to protected sex.
Totally.
We know this.
Then Dr. Taryn has sent me this email. I've spent a lot of time this week trying to escape the echo chamber that is my news feed so that I could find some unbiased reporting on Charlottesville. It's much harder than I had thought. I'm finding it harder and harder to find liberal news sources, and by that I mean willing to respect or accept behavior or opinions different from our own. What I tend to find is nothing that is centrist. It's either hard left or hard right. Mm-hmm. But I came across a couple of interesting pieces that I thought I'd share. And then Taryn sent me a screenshot of this story. I don't think, this is a journalist who talks about Donald Trump. I don't think Donald Trump really is a Nazi. In the same way, and for the same basic reasons, I don't think he's a Confederate apologist, or a Republican, or a Russian operative, or anything. Honestly, even his white supremacism is a second-order thing, an artifact of the coincidence that he himself is white and cannot tolerate less than personal supremacy. He likes the things in the world that gratify him, and those things happen to be good for preserving the power of white people, men in particular, literally any of whom he'd run over with a combine harvester in a moment if it got the New York Times to treat him like the true New York big shot that he thinks he is. He's too stupid and narcissistic for being something other than Donald Trump, for sublimating any part of himself into any bigger idea of how the world ought to do anything other than direct its attention at Donald Trump. It would take at least some minor capacity to imagine himself as a discrete thing moving within a larger reality, as opposed to the entirety of that reality. It would require a cerebral cortex, even one as depressingly smooth and unwrinkled as his son-in-law's. Nazi and Republican and fork and war and hello for Donald Trump, these are just noises you make with your mouth. You make the ones that get people to look at you. If they also smile, fine, but if their eyes widen in shock or horror or disgust, that's fine too. As long as they look at you and don't look away. He's only a fascist of convenience. For the guy in charge, fascism just means everybody pays attention to him all the time. Isn't that powerful?
That's an interesting take.
He's such an egomaniac. According to that, which I think is pretty well written, Donald Trump isn't political. He hasn't got a position. He doesn't have an ideology. Donald Trump's whole position and ideology is Donald Trump. What do you think of that?
I've personally come to the conclusion that Trump lives in his own world, and it must be so great. You know, like, I do not think he is in touch with our reality as well. I saw a picture, Renegade Report tweeted this, a picture of Trump watching the eclipse yesterday.
Without sunglasses.
Without glasses.
The eclipse glasses.
Guys,
yeah.
It's Trump's world.
I don't need these. The fake news is telling you you can't look at the sun. Look at it. It's beautiful. Like, it's tremendous. Really tremendous.
Science will say, be careful. Yeah. Everyone will advise him.
Not
he
Donald.
Goes, no, what do I want to do?
Yeah.
It's his world, and we all just live in it.
Right. Oh, Keely Dokely, we're going to get to our guest in a moment or two. Find out what she has to say. Her name is Jeanette Sester. She is a curve model from Cape Town. And she's with Ice Genetics, and she was just part of Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week, which was at the Mall of Africa, and we'll find out how that went and talk to her a little bit. South Africa, let's stop bullying the Guptas. Shame. Gupta lives matter, says Anushka. Depending on who you are in this life, I am at peace with this family. All good things must come to an end. Okay. I'm not sure what Anushka means about all good things must come to an end.
If we perceive them as good, they'll come to an end. Maybe that's her. That seems like too risky.
I don't know if that's a sensible
position. I think Anushka now works for the BLF.
Yeah. Anushka, are they paying you? There's no other reason that you'd talk like that, right? Okay, who wants to hear what the number one song is in the world? Interested?
Yeah, okay.
It's still Despacito.
Yeah.
We don't need to listen to that again, right? Number two is this one, which you know as well.
Another one.
This we'll skip through. Number three is Calvin Harris Fields. Number four, Imagine Dragons. You want to listen to this?
Which is this?
I don't know if you heard this. Number four song in the world right now. It's Imagine Dragons, and the song is called Believer. You like it? Yes, no, black, white, maybe.
Yes, we do.
Somewhere in the middle, grey.
I think as I was listening to it, I was envisioning like a Batman movie scene.
Oh.
Batman is like sailing through, well, he doesn't sail, but is like zooming around the city.
All right. Well, there we go. See,
that's what my
your fertile imagination.
Thank you.
There's always
very much.
Exciting stuff going on in the land of Sia, right?
One day Christopher Nolan will pay me for these ideas.
All right, let's meet Jeanette. She is a curve model. She's with Ice Genetics. She was just at Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week, which happened at the Mall of Africa, and I want to talk to her about a lot of different things. And she signed also to Ice Models in Hamburg, Germany. She's been doing some international stuff. I don't know how you lived this long growing up in Middelburg. Because you can't...
From the farm.
Yeah, but you can't even drink the water in Middelburg.
You can do nothing. I mean, when I got to Cape Town, I thought it was freaking Las Vegas. It was lights and it was buildings. I mean, I grew up in a very conservative household. Like, even wearing makeup was a sin. Everything is... My grandfather's a pastor, so you can just imagine.
He's a pastor? And you've got tattoos and you must have thought,
everything now,
straight
like,
to hell.
No, straight to hell you go, you know?
And you became a model, which
I
of course...
I became a model with
he
tattoos.
Thinks is prostitution.
You know? Like, and then... Yes, it's prostitution. And then I do like in my lingerie. And he phoned me the one day and he's like, I was standing in Donna and I was looking at you and someone came to me and they were like, "Yo, this is not right for you, uncle." And he's like, "Okay, no, that's my granddaughter." And he's now slowly and surely starting
coming round.
Yeah.
Bless him. Hey, Jeanette. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Gareth.
So listen, I mean, this is obviously a very, very interesting occupation, being a model, and particularly being a model in South Africa, because there's quite a lot of work. And when you do things like Fashion Week, that makes you quite famous very quickly, because people kind of get to know the work that you do up close and personal.
Yes.
Like on the ramp.
Yes, on the ramp. This was actually a dream for me. Like, I kept on harassing Ruff Tung, the designers that we walked for. I kept on asking them, when are you going to use me in Fashion Week? For 2 years. And then the one day they phoned me because they also like dressed us for different events and stuff. And they're like, okay, we're ready. Do you want to do it this year? Get us a few girls together and let's make history. And I don't think anyone really expected what we were going to do.
What did you do?
We just rocked it. Like, the people went crazy. And I had a sequence bodysuit under this kaftan. And on the finale,
yes,
I just
girl.
Took the thing to the side and I stood like this. People lost their minds. I was ready to walk in just the sequence, a bodysuit, of course.
Yes.
Now, I love my curves.
You look, but you look really fantastic.
Thank you.
Like when people think of, you call it curve, yes, like plus size plus model, size, whatever it is.
Yeah.
People think, oh,
unhealthy,
know, yeah,
fat.
Right.
No, there's a big difference for me between being curvy and being healthy. I work out, I eat health, you know, I really try to live a healthy lifestyle. I mean, I started my first diet when I was 13 years old. Having a sister that's
is this
thin.
Your sister
this
outside?
Is my sister. She's 11 months younger than me. So we like almost like twins. Mm-hmm. So my mother used to dress us like twins, but
oh,
I was the other twin.
You were the bigger one.
The bigger one. And I like really, it was diet tablets. I did the soup diet, the three that I cannot eat tuna anymore because of all the freaking diets I did. And once I just accepted my body and I started embracing it,
mm-hmm,
I actually looked, people told me, you are actually, you look beautiful now.
So are you saying not everybody can and should be thin?
No, I cannot. This is what my body can do. I work out 3 to 5 days a week.
No, you don't look unfit, by the way.
No, I mean, I'm
I can see in your arms,
you
and
know,
yeah, sure.
But I cannot go smaller than this. I cannot go smaller than a 14.
But you got sort of generous hips, and you've got big
that's
titties,
that's
and you look
right.
fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
I got you. I think. Listen, I get that. I'm one of those people who I don't like fat. I don't like obesity.
No, because there's a difference, right?
Yeah, I think that's unhealthy, and I think the people who are obese are unhealthy. I do think that they put themselves at risk.
Absolutely,
like they could get heart attacks, and they get
all those things.
High
now
cholesterol,
I do my vitality tests.
Right.
I mean, with and I do very well with the reward at the end. So every week I need to reach my goal to get my coffee or my smoothie or something. So that keeps me going. But I do all my things. I check my cholesterol. I check all these things. And I know, I mean, I'm 33 years old. These things are going to start taking its toll. I need to take care of myself.
But it is good. I mean, first of all, to be a plus size model is hard enough because there's not as much work. First, as much work as there is for all the other models.
But it's picking up, eh? It's really picking up.
And it should do.
Yeah.
Because this is how regular people look.
Yes.
They don't look like
African
these,
I mean,
these
if it's tiny,
not
African
thin,
woman. I mean,
right,
we...
Of course. Right. Absolutely. But the other thing is, like at 33.
Yeah.
To be modeling. That's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think I'm only getting started now.
Because most models, they throw you onto the rubbish heap at like 25.
They're,
are you too old now?
Exactly, exactly. And this actually happened by accident for me. Like, I never planned to be a model.
How did they find you?
My gosh, I was at a women's tea, right? So it was also at some designer's place, and there was this closet, and you could put on clothes and whatever. And of course, I was also the one that putting on all the clothes.
You're very confident.
I am.
You don't give a damn.
No, I don't give a shit. I'm the one in my bikini on the beach walking, you know? And there was a girl there that was a model as well. And she's just like, oh, you're always this confident. And bubbly, even with people you don't know. And I'm like, yeah, it's not a problem for me. Like, everybody's my friend. And she said, like, please, can you just email Donay? And this is the director, not knowing this is one of the most important emails of my life.
Is she very powerful, this
Donay? She's the director of Ice Genetics in Cape Town.
Oh, wow.
So send her my images. She emailed me back a week later. She's like, please come see me. An hour later, I was signed. A month later, I started my first job. Now I'm shooting for Miladies, for Donna Claire. The Germans love me, though. When they come, no, TVCs for them. And so I'm very excited. Yeah, it's just booming. And I'm just doing it.
Do you agree, though, that, and you would use the word confidence.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the single sexiest thing about any person.
Yeah.
If they have confidence, they own the room.
Absolutely. And you know what? It starts with yourself. You need to love yourself. You need to accept yourself. Once you love yourself,
well,
nothing can stop you.
I don't know how to do that. Neither
Why?
Do most of us. I don't think most of us do. I just, I look in the mirror. I'm always disappointed. Always.
No, man.
No, really. I'm not looking for attention from you. I've said this a million times before.
No.
But when you look, I just imagine life is so much better when you have reached a point like you have where you love the way you look.
Absolutely.
And also where you realize what your body's most healthy setting is.
Yeah.
And it isn't to starve yourself.
No.
And it also isn't to be phenomenally fat. It's somewhere in the middle. And for each of us, it's different,
it's
right?
It's different, yeah. Yeah, it's different. I'm also like, I follow no diet. Like, I've given up on that. I don't deprive myself. If I feel I want to have a piece of chocolate, I will have that block and not leave it for 2 weeks and then the day and comes and you eat the whole thing. Yeah. And then that's the problem. You're like, oh my God, I need... So when I feel I want to have a piece of chocolate, whatever, the wrong stuff, I have cheat days where I go, you know, but we've cut out bread, like things like that in our household. Where
I had a girlfriend who did a lot of modeling, and she would eat the most terrible things and so little of it.
Yeah.
She would always be hungry.
Yes.
And she would always be depriving herself.
That's how they get the expressions in the photos. Yes. It's not because it's some hot, high-class look. No, they're just hungry.
They're hungry. They're very hungry.
Desperate to eat.
Yes. I mean, the designer, the one designer...
Foraging in the rubbish.
Just feed them.
The one designer told us, like, so now we were a big group at Fashion Week, the first curvy girls. Everybody's a little nervous because we're walking with people who's been walking in New York Fashion Week.
Right.
And he's like, just... Shame, you must feel sorry for some of these girls. The last time they ate was when they were in their mother's womb. So I was like, okay, I understand. And like, they give out food and we're the ones sitting, eating, and the looks.
Oh, they must hate you.
Yeah, and I mean, some jobs also that we do is like we do with thin models. And when it's lunchtime,
the thin models hate you.
They're just like, and we get paid exactly the same as them. Yeah. So what is the point? What is the point?
do you ever get bitchiness from these other girls?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do they say?
But I don't give a hell. You know,
no,
like,
you just take a bite of something really, really bad
looks.
For you.
It's actually the looks.
Them.
I don't say anything. It's the look of disapproval.
Yeah.
Like, how can you eat that piece of pizza? And I'm just like, you know.
Nom, nom, nom.
Nom, nom, nom.
What's like an average size for a model here in South Africa?
Between the size of 14 to 16 and upwards. So as a curve model,
what sizes are those meant to be? Curve models,
you can't be smaller than a size 14. But now the other problem is in this industry, now it's like, oh, are you becoming too small? And then you're a little bit too big. So
even curve models, there
it's
are rules.
Starting now. But okay. I'm just on that mindset. If you want to book me, you book me. If you don't want to, it's fine.
Do you have a very strict regimen? I mean, you say you go to gym 5 days a week.
3 to 5.
Three to five.
I've got a very healthy living husband.
That's more than most of them. Are you married?
I am married. Oh. I got married in Feb.
She's married. She's 33. She's a model. She eats what the hell she wants. It sounds like you've got a very good life.
I'm living my best life.
But this is not the standard pictures painted of a model.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
When did you get married?
Now in February.
Oh, so you've just got married?
Yeah. Huh. After dating him for 7 years.
Oh.
He must be a keeper.
He is.
Were you getting annoyed with him that he took 7 years to propose?
No. I just actually realized... No. I was always the one. I never... Why fix something if it's not broken?
Yes. Good
you
thinking.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But then you get to a certain age of your life and you're like, okay, maybe this is what I need to do. Because I'm very independent. I have another business as well. In the fertility industry. So the modeling was actually just to balance out the crazy lifestyle. And now that is actually picking up. But now I'm doing
modeling
both.
Balanced a crazy lifestyle? Usually modeling is the crazy lifestyle.
No. For me, it balances because then in front of the camera, like I enjoy, I just let it go.
Right.
So that's where I don't have to think. I don't have to sit. Because working in the fertility industry,
So what do you do in the fertility business?
I mean, donor coordinator. So I match up donors for people who can't have babies. I've been doing that for 6 years.
Wow. So
I started that 6 years ago in South Africa.
You put together the right eggs with the right sperm.
That's what I do.
Look at that. Look at that.
Interesting.
Yeah. We were talking to someone about this just the other day. Remember?
Yeah.
We were talking about fertility.
It's hectic. Like 40% of the world's population of women is infertile.
40%?
Like, the thing is, it's like women like us that wait, okay, I'm going to work till I'm 45.
Yeah.
And then the day comes, but after 30, your fertility just goes.
Yeah. And also, isn't it dangerous as you get older and older?
It is.
To have children, because there can be complications.
That's it, yeah.
So a lot of these women obviously come to you and they go, we need you to help us.
Yeah.
We want to have kids.
That's it. They have everything. They're the most successful and then they can't have children.
This is the thing they want.
That's the thing they want. So between that and the modeling, but now the modeling part and everything is really starting to pick up.
And you say that you've been booked for TV commercials in Germany.
TVCs for them. So I'm very excited to go there. They're on holiday now. It's August. It's summer holidays. So
have you been yet?
No. Not yet.
Okay.
So I work, but they all come here. When it's season. So, Yeah, I work for them when they...
Where do you live now?
In Cape Town. I'm flying
all the
back
models and live in Cape Town.
Everybody lives in Cape Town.
Do you live... Obviously, you've got a husband, so you live in your own place. But yes, these model flats, have you ever stayed in one of them?
No, I haven't, but I've heard.
Apparently, that's just debauchery.
That, exactly.
Of course, no food in the fridge, but
no,
lots of
booze. No, but booze, lots of champagne. Yeah. Because lots of champagne and cigarettes.
Mm.
I've like seen some smoke of these models here at Fashion Week. I mean, it's like, I swear the one girl had a packet of cigarettes in like 3 hours.
Well, she doesn't get food.
She goes,
she's like, the smoke
eat
is her only sustenance.
I can't eat. Tired.
Wow. This is pretty good. You said you wear lingerie?
I love. Give me a lingerie shoot or a swimsuit shoot.
Hey, now. How does the hubby feel about that?
Oh, no, he's my biggest fan. He's the one.
Are you kidding? If I had a beautiful wife who was modeling lingerie and she was on the big poster outside a shop, I'd be telling everybody to go and look.
Yeah, no, he is my biggest fan. He actually, the other day, he's booked himself a photography course so that he can take my Instagram photos.
Ooh.
And I was like, yo, where did I find you, guy?
What are you on Instagram? Let me...
It's Janette, VANA01.
Why such a complicated name?
I don't know. Really? Because, listen, yeah, I had this very Afrikaans surname.
Van Aarde.
How's Jeanette that one?
In fact, if I just type in Janette, it should come up, right?
Yeah. Oh, I changed it to Mrs. Seister now. See?
Did I say? Oh. Okay, I got you. Yeah, I got you. You got 13,000 followers already and counting.
Yep.
All right. And who are you a brand ambassador for?
I am for Donna.
Okay.
Why
did they change that from Donna Claire to Donna?
Oh, they vamped it up a little bit.
Was
also, Claire, the clothes.
Was Claire
was old. She was just too old.
There's the lingerie.
Oh, hey, girl. In my mind, I look like that.
Sia.
When I pose in my face,
Sia,
I look
Sia has this thing where he likes to wear his bathrobe with nothing else on, and then he'll go out and stand on the balcony and hope that his neighbors can see up his bathrobe.
Nothing wrong. Absolutely nothing wrong. I would do the exact same.
Absolutely.
But Sia is a minus size model. I mean, he's like those...
Yeah, no, please, you need to ear dart.
Right. When you're wearing lingerie in front of the camera and when you're parading around in those kinds of skimpy clothes in front of everybody, aren't you? Because even people who are as confident as you are, they worry about how they look. You don't think about that?
I don't think about it at all. Do you know what? Like I wish I had someone like me when I grew up. Like, we didn't have this...
Like a role model.
A role model or body positive ambassadors and things like that.
Yeah.
And I think for growing up the way I did and being put in a box, I just think like, and once I realized like, hey, just look, I don't give a shit, to be honest. Like I'm not shy at all. Even if I can wear no clothes, I will be happy.
You would do nudes? You don't care about that.
I don't care. Me and my husband's favorite place to go is Sandy Bay.
Oh, you do that?
Oh, we love it.
You're both nudists.
I made him a nudist. He was very shy.
This is so open-minded. Middleburg must be catching fire.
The devil is on fire. My grandfather must be praying.
This is
very hard.
Something.
Something is.
Oh, Arma Opa.
Arma Opa, I cope glut me.
Wow. Let me talk to your sister. Come up to this microphone here. I want to talk to you. What's her name?
Yolandi.
Yolandi, come up here. Don't be shy. I know you didn't come here for an interview, but I want to talk to you anyway. You must be proud of your sister, huh?
Very proud.
Amazing stuff. But you're both good looking. Are your parents good looking?
My mom's good looking. My dad, not
the
so
dad,
much.
Not okay.
Well, usually that's what happens, is that one of the parents is good looking.
Yeah.
The other one, the uglier they are, in fact, the more pretty the children.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is die groot bille wat die mooi kal, wat sê hy altyd?
Wat die mooi verse gooi.
Wat die mooi verse gooi. That's what he used to tell people.
Please tell me you don't still live in Middelburg.
I live in Witbank.
Oh. Even worse.
Oh,
Jesus. That place is hell on earth, no, right? It's like Mordor. Worse.
I think you need like a passport just to get out of there.
I drove through it on Sunday on my way back from Nelspruit.
Yes.
And the smog and the smoke,
it's
and the
terrible
factories and
it's terrible.
The
terrible. I read on News 24 the one day, like, we've got the dirtiest air in the world.
Yes.
I said, I understand Africa.
The world.
Maybe South Africa, I get it, but the world.
That means
shocking.
China and, yes, and those nuclear power plants in Russia.
Yeah.
Places that are just revolting, and you guys have the worst air
yes
in the world and the worst water.
Yes.
Can you drink it yet?
Not really. We've got filter systems and we never have water. We never have electricity. The place is really falling to pieces. It's very sad.
So what do you do there?
We've got an industrial cleaning company, so we work on the power stations.
Well, you have to clean
something.
Because the place is so filthy, you've got to clean it. That's a good business to be in.
So that's actually the main reason why we're there, is because of the business, not because we really love Witbank so much.
Are you a little bit jealous of your sister's glamorous life now that she's this model?
I used to do modeling, and I just like gave it up somewhere along the line, and I thought, you know what, I want to be recognized for more than just my face, like for my brain, really. Don't tell me I'm beautiful or whatever. And then when she started doing this, I thought, this is the most amazing thing that she could ever have done in her life. I'm very proud. Biggest fan, eh?
Yeah. And you're younger than she is.
I am.
11 months only. Yeah.
Not even a year, but...
Wow, your parents were busy.
Not so busy.
Very.
Yolandi was the flu.
Yes. They believed you can't fall pregnant when you breastfeed back then. I'm like, really?
Oh, no, sure. old wives' tales.
Yeah.
All right. Are there other beautiful people in Middelburg and Witbank?
Yes, a lot, really.
Really?
A lot.
Okay, I thought
a lot of
Australian
girls. Also,
like
the from
South Africa.
Africa.
Aileen
Creel
is
from Witbank.
Is Aileen Creel from there?
Yes.
She was funny, so Witbank. Hot in her day, huh? Where's she now? What's happened to her?
Nobody knows.
She didn't go back to Middelburg, that's for sure.
No, definitely not.
Mubs, you know anyone from Middelburg?
No. I don't.
Don't they call Witbank Emalahleni now?
There we go.
It's the place of coal.
There we go.
And it is, does it still have that huge wall along the highway? Because so many people get killed running across
the
highway.
But they still do.
And they still run.
Because where the wall ends, that's now where they run across.
It's a dangerous place.
And they're striking today, isn't it? We just got out there. We drove in this morning. Yes.
Witbank.
Funny Witbank. Yeah. It was in
Gerei.
When you go back there now, Jeanette, are you like a celebrity? Do people come out of their houses and wave flags like
They're like, people are like that. And they actually asked me to come judge at a school modeling thing on Friday. But I have to be back in Cape Town tomorrow. Yes. So, God bless.
Oh, shame.
Shame. Tell me about what it means to be body positive. Because I've heard a lot of people who say that any size is body positive. No. And you say that it's got to be healthy as well. What's the difference, though? Where's the line?
For me, it's like, you have to be healthy. You can't sit and eat all the wrong things, cholesterol. Like, you know, you need to love your body. And so I'm not talking about women only. I'm talking about men as well.
What do you not eat? What is out of line?
I try not to eat breads and pastas and things so much because that doesn't work with my body so well. Like, I can binge eat. Like, I'm an emotional eater. If I'm happy, I eat. If I'm sad, I eat.
Right.
I love eating. So I'm just made it to the more... I was bigger than this.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like... And my husband was just like, please. Like, you know, I love
you. Just trim it down a little.
Yeah, no. He was like, I love you. It's just... I'm so concerned about your health.
Yeah.
That was the thing. So, yeah, I know he's the one that runs 10Ks in the morning and stuff like that. So, for us doing things together, we love hiking and things. So it's a lifestyle change. That's actually the thing. It's not about for rules. It's a lifestyle change. And that's how you being positive for your body.
You got kids?
Not
you
yet.
You want kids?
I want kids. I want kids. You know, like I grew up, our family was AWB.
Oh, really? So we're right wing, huh?
Yeah, Eugene Blanche was a house friend. And then I got myself a nice colored husband.
Woo! It's gone well.
No, I'm telling you, now everybody loves him. He was loving it in Witbank. My brother-in-law, they went shooting, and we told them, please just don't play racist, because that can just get into the...
Oh, for sure. You guys were like, Avia beer, and then you suddenly became...
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. And now you've got a colored husband.
Yes, and now everybody loves him. I make history in all fields of my life.
Your family's brains must have exploded.
No,
model in Cape Town, parties, Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week, hanging out with all these cool people, and then the colored husband.
Yeah.
Yes.
That treats me like a queen. Like,
yeah, I'm sure.
I promise you. They say a woman makes a man, but a man makes a woman as well. And I think if it wasn't for him loving me for just... If I tell him today I want to be a clown, he'll go, babe... Gonna help you. You're gonna be best clown. So whatever I do, he is 120% behind me. Like I travel quite a lot for work and stuff as well. And I mean, your typical South African husband wouldn't allow that. Like I
What did you think your husband would be like when you were growing up? Did you think he'd turn into one of those old months with a boop?
I thought that's exactly. Yeah. Like, I used to date Afrikaanse man.
Yeah.
And I thought that I would probably end up on the farm with five children behind the stove. That's where you're supposed to be. No ambition, no nothing. And I mean,
that didn't happen.
Applause, lekker.
No, instead you're doing TV commercials
in
Germany.
No, I'm just like living my best life. Like, I literally, my life did a 360.
Nice.
Completely. And I wouldn't have had it any other way. Like, and I'm just so excited for the future because I'm a Gemini and I always have to be a winner, you know, and I'm just pushing myself.
Good for you. Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Really. It was wonderful.
Very cool to talk to you this
Thank
morning.
Thank you.
A ray of sunshine.
Oh, my goodness.
What a happy, positive, lovely human being to be around.
Thank you.
I can see why people like you.
Thank you, Gareth.
All right. Did you behave badly at Fashion Week?
No.
You didn't even?
No, not at
didn't
all.
Get drunk or?
No.
Do huge amounts of drugs like other models do?
No, not at all. Like, I didn't do any of those things. I think we went to the after party for half an hour. Because remember, we had to drive back.
Yes.
To the banks, baby.
Oh, hell.
So by, I think, by 11 o'clock, we drove back. We went to Rocamamas, had a drink there and something to eat, and home we went. I was there from 10 o'clock in the morning, so I was exhausted by the time it was done.
Don't you think being pretty is the biggest advantage in the world? Like,
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, it's gotten me out of a lot
Thank
of things.
Thank you for not denying it.
Yes. No,
I
gosh.
Hate pretty people like, who are like, no, it's just,
I'm not really you that pretty. Into, oh, stop it.
Yeah, you get into trouble at school. If you're pretty, you get away with it.
Yes.
If you get into trouble at work, you're pretty, you get away with it. If you go to the bank and everybody else is lined up, they'll ask, sorry, ma'am, would you come to the front? Because you're pretty. You never have to wait for
anything.
People
I used
are
to
nice
sell
to
hydraulics and pneumatics.
Wow, that's a hard business for someone pretty, but I bet you it worked.
It worked. I didn't even know what I was talking about.
Hydraulics
the people were just buying stuff there on the white. Okay. I just like, you need this. Are you sure you don't need this whole cylinder? No, I just want the valve. No, take the cylinder.
Oh, you.
Okay, give me five. Thank you. You know what I'm saying? Like, pretty works. Like, it can get you. I mean, it even got me, like, when I was pulled over. Huskies constable, you may know un cunt.
Oh, what did you say about cunt?
Yeah, un cunt.
Jeez, all right. Oh, wow. What a life.
I need to show more heavage in my life. That is what will hold me.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Sia's busy discovering a new bestie.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well,
discover the world together.
Well, what a pleasure to meet you this morning.
Thank you so much.
I hope we'll see you again soon. And good luck with the modeling career.
Thank
you. Everything else.
Thank you.
And let us know when your sister eventually gets out of Witbank.
Oh, I will. I'll actually tweet you the day.
We'll organize her a visa.
Yes. No, she actually bought a passport in her handbag for us just to get here.
All right. Thank you so much. What a pleasure. All right. If you want to go and check out her Instagram, because it's really interesting, and you can go and see all her pictures. She puts up all of them. The lingerie pics, the lot. Jeanette Seister. That's Syster. And her name, Jeanette, JuneTTE. You can find her. She's the only Jeanette, I think, on Instagram.
The Afrikaanse Jeanette.
Oh, I'll say. Go and take a look. See what she's up to.
Now I'm out here looking like revenge, feeling like a 10, the best I ever been.
This is CliffCentral.com.